Number 78, Psalm chapter 78. It is an honor and a privilege to be here. I told the Sunday School Hour, my wife and I, we're getting to that place in life where we get to be just her and I. And we love our kids, but we have a lot of fun without our kids too, all right? You know, and that bothers our kids. They're like, what? You know, so, but we love to be together. And I really thank you for accommodating us to come here. And we've got to spend a few days going to some sites and seeing. I will tell you, we were, I forget which day, not yesterday. So I'm like, I don't even know what day it is, you know, when you fly here from Ohio. But I do know it's Sunday. But I think it was on Friday we were out visiting. I think we were around the place called the Turnican Arm or the Loop or whatever that's called. And we started to take a trail. And I was like, I don't know, honey, let's maybe, and there was nobody up there. And I was kind of wondering about that was. We started walking down. I saw a group of people that were looking our way, kind of pointing. And I was like, that's interesting. And then my wife said, oh, honey. And there was four bears, black bears right there. So I quickly put my wife in front of me and I'm joking. All right. But anyway, We were not expecting that, you know. I mean, we were from here to the back of the wall with those bears, and it was fun. And so I took some pictures, I'll tell you that, you know. I mean, you got to have that. So, but we've had a lot of fun, and we've enjoyed being with Pastor and Mrs. McGovern when they picked us up. We enjoyed the time of fellowship. We're looking forward to family camp, and we're excited about this. And I'm thankful to have my wife in Alaska. And I was telling the group, I've been in Fairbanks and preached camps out there. They take us to remote areas. I mean, I think if you died, nobody would know where you were at. I mean, it's just that kind of place. And the mosquitoes, just terrible. Horse flies, you know what I'm talking about. And she's from Georgia. And so she came with me to Anchorage, all right? And so we're thankful for that. But we're so grateful to be here, and I'm looking forward to this week, looking forward to what God will do. Now, I'll tell you this, it's going to be hard preaching when I can smell the food, all right? Do you smell that? That's kind of tough, and I don't know if that's my sign to hurry. I'm told that you usually go until about 2 o'clock, and so that'll be fine, and I'm just kidding. I'll be very conscious of the time. We come to Psalm chapter number 78. It's one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. But we are going to look this morning at a group of people, in fact, the children of Ephraim. And we're going to notice some things about their life. And it is a great warning for us today. And I'm going to preach on this subject. Are you limiting God? Is it possible for you and me, if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, to limit what God wants to do in our life, in our families, and in our church? Well, Psalm 78 tells us that it is possible to limit God. And I want to ask God to help us today to speak to our hearts, to enable me to preach. Would you join me in prayer at this time? Father, it is a great blessing and an honor to be here this morning among your people. I thank you for their kindness. I thank you for this great church. I thank you for Pastor McGovern and his family. I just thank you for their faithfulness here. We pray that you bless these moments that we have together. Convict us, Father, from thy word. Challenge us. Convince us of the truth, but bring comfort to our heart as well. We look to you by faith. We call unto you to do your work. Lord, enable me to do what I cannot do, and that is to touch hearts. And I pray you'll enable me to preach in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm chapter 78, let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Now let me stop, and I want to encourage you to do something. In just a moment, we're going to be reading. You're going to find words like children or generation to come. And I want you to take note of those. If you're in the habit of marking things in the Bible, you can do so. Look in verse number 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He had done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as the heap. In the daytime also He led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Let's pick up in verse number 37 of the same chapter. Psalm 78, verse 37. For their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. For He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God. And notice this phrase, and limited the Holy One of Israel. Brethren, in Psalm 78, we have a picture of an almighty, all-powerful God who is able to do all things, but the Bible says He was limited. That means that God wanted to do more than what they allowed Him to do. Now, brethren, I do not want in any sense for you to think I'm being irreverent about the character of our God. But figuratively speaking, we see a God whose hands are tied behind His back. Now, God is able to do great things. In fact, there is nothing too hard for God. But because of our lack of faith, we can limit God. Now, I want you to notice our passage here this morning because, brethren, is it possible for you to limit God in your marriage? Yes. Is it possible for you to limit God with your children? Yes. Is it possible for you to limit God in your Christian life? And God wants to use you to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, because of our disobedience and our lack of faithfulness, we can limit God. I wonder how many times in my own personal life I have limited what God wanted to do. I've kept God from doing all of His work. Listen, brethren, God uses us as His instruments today. Aren't you thankful that God uses us? It's a great blessing to be a tool, an instrument in the hand of God. But it's also a great responsibility to know that we can limit God. I believe that God has much more for us than what we could ever imagine. God wants to do much more with us than what we could ever think. But is it possible to limit God? And the question this morning is, are you limiting God? Number one, I want you to notice in our passage, the coming generation. Now, the first seven verses, God talks about children, and He talks about the generation to come. Now, if you're parents here, and you have children, can I encourage you today, don't limit God with your children. Don't limit God. Don't hinder what God wants to do in their life by your lack of obedience to the Lord. Don't limit God. But if you're here without children, or maybe your children are already grown, can I tell you, we still have a responsibility to the coming generation. That's the generation to come. Do you know that I love coming here this morning, never been to your church, but I love to see the children, I love to see the young people. That is the future of this church. It really is. That's the generation to come. But we live in a world of biblically illiterate children. They don't know God's Word. In fact, you know, years ago, you could talk about stories like David and Goliath, and people would know what you meant. Or you could talk about stories of Daniel and the lion's den, and pretty much everybody knew what you meant. But it's not that way today. You know why? Because the generation to come doesn't know the great truths of God's Word. In fact, we can limit what God wants to do if we are not reaching the coming generation. It is so important that our neighborhoods and our schools and all throughout our streets, they are full of children and young people, the generation to come that need to be taught the Word of God, so that we do not limit what God wants to be done. Brethren, here in Psalm chapter 78, God is speaking to the people of Israel. And He is telling them about this nation of this children of Ephraim and how they limited God. They hindered what God wanted to do. And God began talking to them about the children. God said, don't limit me with the children. In fact, Psalm 78 gives us our responsibility not to limit God when it comes to children or the generation to come. You know, sometimes we can almost look at children, if we're not careful, like, man, what do they know? They know a whole lot more than we think they know. We can almost look at young people with this idea of, man, they're just kids, they don't have any sense and all of that. But God says don't limit Him when it comes to young people, when it comes to the generation to come. That's why we should be kind and gracious to children. We should be loving them and teaching them the great truths of God's Word, knowing that God has a plan and a purpose for their life. I'll tell you, some of the greatest times that I've ever had have been with children or with young people. God has opened the door for us and our church and in our area that we are allowed, it's amazing, a miracle, that we're allowed to have a public school Bible club, but they allow us to come in during school time. So every Friday in a small rural school where I'm close to, I get to go and hold a Bible club. And it's just amazing what the Lord has done. We've seen the principal come to our church. We've seen the superintendent visit our church. And we've seen kids, young people get saved and come and be a part of our church. It's just amazing because I believe God wants to do more than what we think He is able to do. I believe there are children and young people everywhere that God wants to touch and reach them because, brethren, we are, as God's people, to be channels through whom God can work. For instance, you know the nation of Israel was to be nothing more than a channel that through them God was going to make Himself known to the rest of the world. That's what they were to be. But can I tell you something today? You and I are channels. You and I are vessels in the hand of God that God wants to work through our lives, but often we limit Him when God wants to use us and we hinder Him. I remember years ago, I was in Bible college, and I remember I had to take a semester off Bible college because I ran out of money. And I had to work full-time during that time. I thank God for my parents, but they just weren't, you know, they helped as much as they could, but they took it that it was my responsibility, which I'm grateful for that. And so I was working, and I had to take that time off, and I was on my way to Maryville, Tennessee, where I was working a full-time job, just taking that semester off. And I remember that morning I came up over a hill, and there's lots of those in Tennessee, and boy, the sun was shining, I couldn't see, and traffic had been stopped. And just in the moment, I grabbed the wheel and turned it, but went down into a ravine, and I was stuck. Well, in Tennessee, there's also lots of guys with trucks, you know. Usually they got a shotgun in the back of the truck. And, there was two guys that pulled up in a pickup truck, and they said, "Hey, you want us to get you out?" I said, "Yeah, that'd be great." But they couldn't get me out. They hooked it up to a chain, tried to pull me out. Nothing was happening. I knew that I was going to have to get a tow. Well, it was during those days we did not have cell phones. I know the children think this guy's old, all right? But we didn't have it, you know? So I asked those guys, I said, "Hey, would you take me to a payphone?" All right? Those are in antique museums now. You can find those, all right? And so I had to go to a payphone. But as soon as I got in the truck with those two guys, I never forget that to this day. The Spirit of God impressed on my heart to give the gospel to these men, to give the gospel to them. They were kind. They were gracious. But I knew in my heart, here I was, I had the truth. I had something that no doubt these men needed. But I was nervous and I was anxious about getting to work on time, my car stuck, all of that, that I did not give them the gospel. Brethren, can I tell you something? Can I tell you what I did that day? I limited God. How many has ever been somewhere before and the Holy Spirit impressed this on your heart to share the gospel with someone and you don't do it? And can I tell you, you know about it. Can I ask you how many has ever had that happen before? You know it. Can I tell you what we have done? We have limited God. We have hindered what God wanted to do. And brethren, here in our passage, the Bible says the children of Ephraim, carrying bows, heading into battle, they limited God. God wanted to do so much more through their life, but they limited Him. Could it be possible that we limit God with our own children in our family? And we limit God with the children in our streets and neighborhoods and in our schools today? We just don't think God is able to work, and we don't think God is able to bless, but we can limit God. Notice what the Bible goes on to say here. We look in Psalms chapter 78, and look what it says in verse number 4. We will not hide them from their children. What are we hiding from the children? Showing to the generation to come. Notice these three things that we are not to hide. We are to boldly declare to the children. Look at this. The praises of the Lord. That's the first one. And His strength. And His wonderful works that He hath done. Now, what is the praises of the Lord? That tells who the Lord is. That tells people that we should be declaring, all of us, that God is real, that God is righteous, that He is just, that He is good, that He is merciful. We should be speaking about the praises of the Lord. But secondly, the strength of the Lord. That tells people what God can do. In fact, we should be declaring that God is able with His mighty strength to save, to forgive, to cleanse, to heal, to restore. We are to talk about the strength of the Lord. But the thirdly is the wonderful works of the Lord. That tells what God has done. Brethren, do you know what we should be? We should be Christians that are not like stagnant ponds. Have you ever been to a pond where water is coming in but nothing is going out? You know what it is? It's stagnant. It doesn't look very good. It smells pretty bad. It's stagnant water. And I'm afraid that some Christians are like, "Speak to me, teach me, give me all of this." But if we are not willing to take what God has given to us and to give it to others, we are limiting God. Brethren, do you know that God has blessed you so that you might bless others? Do you know that God has instructed you so that you might give instruction to others? Do you know that God has forgiven you so that you might forgive others? Brother, whatever God has done in our life, let's not limit Him, especially when it comes to the generation to come. The praises of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, and the wonderful works of the Lord. There is a responsibility God has given to us. By the way, may the Independent Baptist Church of Anchorage be a beacon that says God is real. That's praises of the Lord. He can change your life. That's the strength of the Lord. And look what He has done for me. That is the wonderful works of the Lord. You see, we need more than just road signs pointing to church. We need living signs in our offices and buildings and department stores. People that say, "Look what God has done in my life. I know God is real. I've met with God." And God can change your life. Let us not limit God when it comes to the generation to come. But secondly, not only do we see the coming generation, we see a convicting challenge. And I want us to go, if you look back to verse number 9, and notice what the Bible says. Well, let's start, if you would please, in verse number 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And then God gives us specifically the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. And then let's listen to what God says. How did they turn back? Look what it says in verse 10. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. So, brethren, the challenge is that we don't turn back in the day of battle. Now, here's the ideal. God had blessed the nations of Israel, and the children of Ephraim was one of those parts. We understand the 12 tribes of Israel. God's plan was for them to go to the promised land, Canaan land. Remember, God delivered them from Egyptian bondage, but that was not it. God didn't want them to wander in the wilderness. God wanted them to go to His land, Canaan land. Now, Canaan's not a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the victorious Christian life. It's a picture of us living our Christian life out, not limiting God. But God knew that these people were going to have to live by faith. And in order to live by faith, to cast out the enemy was still in the land of Canaan. But God said, I will give you all the land, but if you'll trust me and obey me, I'll give you the victory. But there were giants in the land, were there not? There were battles to be fought. And the Bible says the children of Ephraim, here they are. They want to go and possess the land. God's promise in the land. They get all the gear and the warfare together. The Bible says they're carrying bows. They come to the enemy. God knows, and I mean, they know that God is going to help them and enable them. But they look at the enemy. They look at what they think is impossible. And they're armed and carrying bows. And they turn back and they limit God. I can see God saying, I could have given you the victory. I would have been with you. I'm able to defeat all of them. But they must act in faith. They must act in obedience to God. And I wonder how many times in our life, the challenge for us is God will give you victory over that sin habit. God will give you victory over that root of bitterness. God will give you that victory in your family. He's able to do all things. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And we carrying bows, we look at the war, we look at the enemy, and we turn back. And we limit God. Years ago, when my son Caleb and I, we kind of got into bow hunting when we went to Ohio. The only kind of hunting I was used to in Tennessee was coon hunting and, you know, kind of the idea of going in the woods, anything that moves, you shoot it. You know, that was kind of our type of hunting with my papaw and all of that. But I went to Ohio, you know, they got into, boy, Pastor, we want to teach you how to deer hunt and all of that. I was pretty excited about that, you know. So, of course, I had a man church buy me a crossbow. Man, I was ready to go and showed me what kind of arrows to get. And one day after school, my son Caleb, he was probably at the time 11, 12 years of age. He said, Daddy, we're going to go deer hunting after school. Yeah, we're going to do it, buddy. We got it. And so, man, we loaded up the car with all the gear, the camo, and all everything we needed, the crossbow, all of that. And, boy, we got all geared up. You know, it takes a while to get all that stuff on. And we were ready to go. We had a place to go. We knew there was deer there. The trail cam said it. All of that. We were ready. We got all the stuff together, and we were geared up. And then Caleb asked me a question that really wasn't significant, but it turned out to be significant. He said, Dad, did you get the arrows? You know, those things that, you know, have to kill the... I said, no, son, I forgot them. You know what we did? We loaded everything back up in the car and drove home. We turned back because we weren't prepared. Brother, I wonder how many times God is ready to give victory. God is ready to give deliverance. God is ready to bless. He's ready. And yet we turn back in the day of battle. Now notice what happened to them. The Bible says, look what it goes back and say in verse number 10. They kept not the covenant of God. Number one, they were unfaithful. They just kept not God's covenant. They were unfaithful. Secondly, we find the Bible says that they refused to walk in the law of the Lord. They were unwilling. The Bible says, don't be like your fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. I have 12 years, my wife and I spent working with teenagers. I was a youth pastor and I loved it. But can I tell you something? I to this day can think about to teenagers that no doubt God was calling them. God was enabling them, but they were rebellious and stubborn and they wouldn't say no to the Lord. And can I tell you what? They limited God. And I wonder how many times we're in a church service and God begins to speak and God begins to work in our heart. And you know what we say? We don't say it out loud, but we say no to God. Reminds me of my son when he was 5 years of age, my youngest son. One day I told him to do something. He looked up at me. He was very Christian about it. He was very religious about it. But he said to me, Daddy, please don't tell me what to do. Well, we took care of that later. I can promise you that, all right? But can I tell you something? I think we're that way with God. We're like, Lord, I sure love you, but don't tell me what to do. God, Lord, thank you for giving your son Jesus on the cross to pay for my sins, but just don't tell me what to do. Lord, I love you, but I'm not going that far. Lord, I'm not going to stop that in my life. We limit God because we're unwilling. We are unfaithful, and the Bible goes on to say they forgot His works, verse 11, and His wonders. They were ungrateful. Yesterday, my wife and I were walking and talking together, and we were talking about the blessing of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. God is good to each and every one of us here today. And I'm going to tell you this, church. I'm going to tell you this. You have a wonderful church here at Independent Baptist Church. You have a wonderful pastor and his wife and family. And I'll tell you something. We all, every day, if you're a part of this church, to thank God for this church and to thank God for your pastor. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to thank the Lord every day that He gave His only begotten Son just for you to be saved. You ought to thank God every day for your family and friends and thank God every day for the health. And listen, we ought to be grateful Christians because I'm afraid we're going to limit God. The great challenge, the Bible says back in verse number 9, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Can you see them? Ready? Ready, and God is able to give them the victory, and yet in that moment, they turned back. Brethren, our challenge today is to rise by faith. In the heat of the hour, in the toil of the struggle, in the crisis hour today, and don't turn back. I've been a pastor now almost 15 years at our church, and I thank God for our families. I thank God for them. But I'm sad to tell you that there's some families, they don't go to church anymore. And you know what? They were unwilling, they were ungrateful, and I tell you, they limited what God wanted to do. They limited what God could have done in their children's life. They limited what God could have done in their own life. Because I'll tell you, yes, the battle is tough. Yes, the war is great. But it's easier to turn back. It's easier to say, I'm done with that. I'm tired of how people treat me. I'm tired of all the struggles and trials. And yet, if we turn back in the day of battle, we limit what God wants to do. We hinder the work of the Lord. We see not only the coming generation, but a convicting challenge. But number three, I want you to notice in closing, our compelling confidence. Now, we pick back up in Psalm chapter 78. Would you go with me now to verse number 12? And I want you to see this. We know this. Look back in verse number 12. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers. In the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And He made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime, also He led them with a cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. I mean, we know the stories of the children of Israel and the wilderness. What God did for them. It's amazing. But look now in verse number 17. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Look in verse 19. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You know what they said? After all they had seen God do, is God really able? Can God do this? Brethren, do you know what is the greatest thing that limits God? It is our unbelief. It is our lack of confidence in God. I don't know your life. I don't. I'm coming in and I'm grateful to be here and I appreciate the opportunity. I know my people, and when I look at my people, I know their struggles. I know the health situations, the cancer. I know the wayward children in our church. I know families that are broken sitting there and marriage situations. I understand it because I know it, but I don't know you. And can I tell you something? There is something within all of us that we just want to doubt God. There's something in all of us that, you know, and by the way, the devil, what is he? I mean, he's the author of confusion. He is our greatest enemy. And there are often when the devil is shooting those fiery darts, that's why we're supposed to put up the shield of what? Faith. To quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Because he speaks lies to us about God. He speaks lies to us about the church. And he speaks lies to us about our spouse. And listen, he constantly deceives us and tricks us. And he wants us to doubt what God can do. And here, after all the children of Israel had seen, you know what? I read this and I think to myself, you bunch of ungrateful people. How could you ever doubt God? But then the Holy Spirit says, but son, how could you ever doubt God? How could I ever think that God is not good? And that God is not faithful? And that God, we think sometimes God is limited, but we are the ones who have limited God. We have limited Him, listen, by our unbelief. In fact, let's take our Bibles in closing and go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number, let me find this. Matthew, we'll go to this. Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew chapter 13, and I want you to see this in closing here today. Matthew chapter 13, we'll begin in verse number 53 in just a moment. And then we'll go to chapter 23 as we close. Brethren, is it possible that you and I can limit God? Yes. Is it possible that we can limit what God wants to do with children and young people? I don't know about you, but I steal when I see kids. I think, boy, Jesus died for that child. Jesus died for that young person. And there is no telling what God wants to do in their life. And I think we've got to reach them. We've got to reach them. We've got to help them. There is more. It's like the arsenal of hell has been unleashed on children today. But we can't limit God. God is still able to save. And God is still able to redeem. And God is still able to take a broken life. And He's able to fix it. And He's able to mend it and mold it. But I also want you to think about our challenge, and that's not to turn back. Look here, brethren, I want to encourage you with something. Don't turn back. Don't quit on what God wants to do. You'll limit God. You'll hinder what God wants to do with your life. And in this church, you'll limit God. Don't turn back. But the great challenge today is our confidence in God. This is where it really comes down to. In Matthew chapter 13, I want you to see what the Bible says in verse number 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, He departed thence. And when He was come into His own country, He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And look at this. What a sad statement. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Would it not be sad if we took that verse and had to put that in your home? Would it not be sad if we had to take that verse and put it in a church? And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 23, the last place we'll turn. Matthew chapter 23, and look in verse number 37. I love the verse that we find in Psalm 81, where the Bible says, "Open thy mouth wide." And what did he say? "And I will fill it." Brethren, do you know that you and I never exhaust a limitless God? God is able. What's he able to do? Well, Ephesians 3:20 says he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We don't exhaust God. Look what it says here in Matthew chapter 23. Jesus is speaking, but I believe he's speaking with passion and maybe even with tears. Look what he says. Matthew 23, verse 37. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings." And look at this sad statement. "And ye would not." We find in one place that Jesus came there. And he said, "I wanted to do more here, but I did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." And then Jesus looks at Jerusalem and says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I wanted to gather you like a mother hen does her little chickens. And I wanted to bring you close to me and near to me. You could have known me like nobody else could have known me." There was a nearness and an intimacy that Christ wanted with his people. But that phrase says, "And ye would not." Ye would not. They limited God. Brethren, maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you just think, "There's no way God can save me." Don't limit God. He can save you this morning. Maybe you're here today and you have a sin habit, no matter what it may be. And you think, "There's no way. The devil's tried to convince you. There's no way God can help you." Don't limit God. God is able to give you victory. Maybe you're here today and you have a situation in your own personal Christian life. And maybe some wounds from the past. Maybe some root of bitterness. And you think, "Pastor, there's no way I can get over this." Don't limit God. Brethren, the challenge today is don't turn back in the day of battle. Don't limit God. Every head bowed and every eye closed.